Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. This is episode 257. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg, who my sources tell me was just in a meeting with Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Is that correct, Mr. Clegg?
Apparently, he's not hanging on the East Coast anymore. We'll see. I was seeing there's reports. Nobody has a clue what's going on, I don't think. So I'll be curious. He only met with the New York teams now, apparently, they're saying. Dude, who even knows at this point? Like, it's just wild. I feel like everybody's just speculating, ready for something to happen, and hopefully we just get some news soon. At this point, it's just crazy and wild to see. Let's do something and get this free agent market moving.
Yes, I feel like a lot of the other pitchers, are the Yamamotos, the Snells, those guys are all just waiting like for this first domino to drop. And yeah, I'm getting tired of it, to be honest with you. Like, yes, it was fun at first. Yeah, maybe it was a little more fun when my Red Sox were considered really in it. Now we're considered by many in the industry to be dark horses, quote unquote, which is what I saw. And he hasn't had another meeting with us. So I don't think we're really in the sweepstakes anymore. It sounds like it's the New York teams and then the Dodgers from them, and maybe a little bit of the Giants, but we'll see. But yeah, hopefully get that going. So we get some hot stove. It was hot a little bit and then it's cooled off. Had a signing or trade here and there, but nothing real big. So hopefully get some news here as we get closer to Christmas time, which is under a week, Chris. That's insane. Almost the end of the year. We've done, what, 90 to 100 episodes this year. And we got another solid one here today with our second base prospect rankings. And so we were trying to figure out eligibility and if we had the correct guys listed here. It gets really hard. And we'll see like a lot of these guys, and we'll talk about several of them, that are they going to play at the position? Will some of these shortstops move over here? Some of these guys move off the position. It's a really tricky position, especially with all these eligibilities. But still a lot of solid prospects here to talk about. And a lot of intriguing names, too, that we'll dive into here. But first, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm Eric Cross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, the DynastyDugout.com and ToolshedFantasy.com, for more work from each of us, including all of our rankings, player write-ups, hopping through. Chris, you're almost done with your team-by-team prospect rankings. I've been doing those, plus my Dynasty rankings positionally, and a lot of good stuff on both platforms. So definitely go check out both of those. All right, as we've been doing with every show in this ranking series, we'll start out with our personal rankings. Top 10, Chris, who you got?
All right, so kicking it off at the top is Adiel Amador, followed by Matt Shaw, Tamar Johnson, Joey Ortiz, and Luis Angel Acuna, rounding out the five. And then we go to Joey Loperfido, James Triantos, Michael Bush, Juan Brito, and Justin Foscue to finish out the 10.
So same top two for me, Adiel Amador and Matt Shaw. And I feel like you can go literally 6,000 different ways. I think those are the top two pretty solidly, in my opinion. That's tier one. And I think I've moved, I have Amador overall. Yeah, those are two guys in my top 20. I have Amador 14, Shaw 17, and then about a 20 overall rank drop down to my number three guys. So, yeah, definitely tier one by themselves there. Number three for me is Luis Angel Acuna, then Joey Loperfido 4, Tamar Johnson 5, Michael Bush 6, Connor Norby 7, Carlos Jorge 8, Thomas Ajayi 9, and James Triantos at 10. Let's start with the two guys at the top, though, Chris, Amador and Shaw. Both guys that played both second base and shortstop, both played a little bit more over at short. I think they're both pretty much a two-third to one-third split favoring shortstop. So I guess, do you think either of these guys ultimately end up at second base, or do you think they're shortstops long-term? I guess that's the big question here to start it off.
Yeah, so I think that certainly with some of these guys, it's, you know, you have to think through, like, where do these guys fit? And Amador, I think he could stick it short. It wouldn't surprise me to see him at second either. He's kind of split time there. They have Ezekiel Tovar. It's a interesting kind of spot for him. I do think that second base probably is his long-term landing spot. Matt Shaw, he's probably a second baseman. It's a weird situation in Chicago, too, because they have Dansby and Nico Horner. And Shaw is really knocking on the door, even though he's just drafted. Tamar Johnson is a second baseman through and through. Joey Ortiz is actually probably the best shortstop of the guys in the Orioles system, which is wild. Defensively, he's better than Jackson Holliday. He's better than Gunnar Henderson. Joey Ortiz is a dude over at short. So he played mostly shortstop this year, but he also played the majority of his time at second base in the majors when he did get called up. So yeah, Luis Angel Acuna is pretty slick at short too. We saw him in the AFL 2 years ago. It's a pretty impressive glove. He's quick. He moves. Now with the Mets, they obviously have Francisco Lindor locked up for the long term, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Lindor move around. The Mets have several this middle infield types in the system, but could go a couple different ways there. So, yeah, of these names, like, I'd say Amador is probably more than likely a second baseman. I'd say that Matt Shaw is probably a second baseman. Tamar Johnson's like your lock at second base. Like, he's honestly just not versatile enough to go anywhere else. Ortiz is probably a shortstop, and maybe Acuna's a shortstop, but I think Acuna could play some second base too.
Yeah, you have that question with a lot of these guys. Like, even like for me, like Thomas Ajayi, obviously they have Mason Wynn, shortstop. So I think second base would be a good spot for him, though they still have Nolan Gorman, Tommy Edman. So a lot of other guys are trying to fit in there. Yeah, Norby, it probably is just in general, but just with Baltimore, adding Ortiz, Gunner, so many infield, Jordan Westberg, and obviously Mayo as a corner guy. There's so many guys in that infield. It's like they got to trade some of them. So maybe Norby's traded. You know, maybe they're still trying to get maybe a Dylan Cease type or someone like that. So they trade Ortiz, Norby, or some combination of that. Maybe figure up that logjam a little bit. I could totally see that. So maybe they'll get traded into more clear situations there for their playing time. But yeah, with the top two, I do think if I had to pick, I'm leaning more towards second base for both these guys. Colorado, Tovar is a pretty solid defender. So I think Amador will be the second baseman with Tovar at short and Shaw at second base as well. I think those guys are going to be really good second basemen for fantasy. There's no real, with Amador and Shaw, neither one have like that one standout tool, but you could say that probably about nearly every guy on this list. Like, there's no super sexy profiles here, but both Amador and Shaw are just so well-rounded, so good across the board. You know, Amador are probably one of the better pure hitters in the minor league, doesn't get enough credit for being one of the better pure hitters in the minor leagues. Like high average, high ABP guy, does not strike out much at all. And a solid power speed blend that I think goes undervalued as well. Because you think even if he's like fringe average in both power speed, that could still be got it. He's flirting with 20-20 at Coors Field long term. And then Matt Shaw, I think, is above average power speed guy. So I think he has the, I think Shaw has the highest upside. And maybe he's a guy that jumps ahead of Amador this season. I think that could be a possibility. And Shaw's the number one. And maybe he even debuts with the Cubs later this year. We'll see how that plays out there. But yeah, Amador and Shaw very solidly 1-2 for me. How big's the gap between 2 and 3 in your rankings, Chris? Do you have a sizable gap there as well?
Yeah, it's big enough. Let me pull up the rankings. Where in the world am I prospect sheet? Yeah, so it's a drop from 18 to 37 for me right now. So. Right, so
pretty damn similar to mine. Yeah, mine's from 17 to 38. So very close there as well. Now, we already talked about Lou Perfetto in first base, so we won't talk about him here. But Michael Busch, what are you making of Michael Busch these days, Chris? I feel like eventually we're going to talk about him as a major leaguer and not in prospect-focused episodes. But I think I said the same thing last year before. He has over 1,000 at-bats in the upper minors. And obviously, they're moving Mookie Betts to second base, which I don't think is a bad choice. I think, obviously, Betts is a phenomenal athlete and a good defender wherever you put him. But now it's with Gavin Lux also returning. It's just no spot for Michael Busch. And maybe, fingers crossed, he gets traded. But is he a guy that you still want to hitch your wagon to in dynasty leagues? Because the numbers are still good. Like, he's improved his approach to the plate. The contact skills are solid. The power's there. So, like, you look at the profile, and it's still a profile. If you just took the name off, you just did, like, a blind look at the profile and didn't look at the name, the age, etc., took all those biases out, it'd be a profile that you want to invest in. But at the same time, you can't just ignore the name and the organization he's in and all that. And obviously, it's a massive question mark, everything else. When is he going to play? Will he play with the Dodgers? I don't know. So I think, but those questions and that people are probably done waiting for him for the most part, I think he's still a good buy. And maybe I'm going to regret this in the long run. Maybe that's going to be the case. But I still think Michael Busch is a good buy just because I think everyone else is just absolutely tired of waiting for him.
Yeah, I think that's the case. It's just like the biggest prospect fatigue of all time. But the power's there. We've seen it. Average EV was 91 last year, ninth percentile of 105. So like the power's still plus in that. Hits the ball at ideal launch angles. He had a 13% barrel rate. So like all those things are numbers that you want to see. Like he's commanding the zone. He doesn't chase. He had a near 90% zone contact, chased at 22% clip. Everything is really good. And yeah, I don't think we can say that Michael Busch is a quad A player. Like some people are going to be willing to jump on that bandwagon and say that he's not good, but yeah, he is. He's still really good. So I'm still heavily investing in him. And I think that he's probably a really good buy still considering how much he's been faded at this point.
Yeah, I absolutely agree there. What about Termar Johnson, though, Chris? Because Johnson's been, I think, solid in the minor league so far. You know, in, let's see, 23 games in 2022, you know, struggled out of the gate, but 366 OBP this past year, 244, 422, 438 slash, 18 home runs, 10 steals, 101 walks, 120 Ks. He was one of, I think, was the four teenagers that had 100 plus walks this year. And he did it in just 105 games, which is very encouraging. And even had a 420 OBP in low A, 428 OBP in high A once he got bumped there. And I believe it was in August or late July. But yeah, I feel like maybe still a tad underwhelming when compared to people's kind of expectations for him. What are you projecting for Johnson? What type of player do you think he's going to be long term?
He's interesting because he completely flipped his profile this year. So he went from like a hit over power guy to completely a power over hit. It's just very bizarre to see like how he transformed his game. And to me, I just wonder, okay, so then who is he going to be long term? Like, we certainly saw good poolside power, which was obviously fun to see out of him, but pretty passive, not swinging often. His swing rate was like 10% below league average. He made contact on 68% of pitches, 77% zone. So that's 30 to 40 grade contact versus he was billed as like a 70 grade hitter right out of the draft. But the EVs were really good. Like, he had an average EV over 90, which is high for a little guy. Like, he's 5'7". He's tiny. But he really gets into it on the pool side. I don't know. If he can combine the skill set, then, okay, yeah, now we're really looking at a fun fantasy player. But he's got to revert back to a little bit of who he was and not just completely sell out for power when he swings. I don't know. I'm still struggling to figure out, like, how I view him long term. Obviously, he showed the power. Like, I think the EVs at his age and size suggest like 25 home run kind of bat, but he's small. His swing's aggressive when he does swing. He's got a lot going on. So it's a weird prospect to me, like the transformation that we've seen over the last couple of years with him.
Yeah, it's been hard for me to rank him because obviously the upside has always been there. It's always been intriguing. But yeah, like, what, where is he at? Like, does this kind of the version we saw of him this year stick? Does he try to find that middle ground between, you know, making contact and hitting for power? I feel like that's ultimately going to be the case. But so hopefully, because OBP guy, if you put in OBP formats, obviously he's much higher. Like, in my overall rankings right now, he is in the 50s. OBP format, you would probably bump him up at least probably 15, 20 spots, probably more in like the 30s. Because obviously, if you're going to get a guy that's 20 plus home runs, double digit steals, and producing a potentially an elite OBP, as he has the potential to do, yeah, that's a guy that you're going to value a lot higher than an average formats. But I'm hoping that he can make the switch and find that middle ground, like I said, because if he does, I'll be more willing to move him, you know, further up my rankings, maybe into those 30s range. But yeah, right now I'm just questioning, where's the average at long term? How much power can he ultimately get at long term? Is he just a 20 homer guy? Is he more like 25 plus? So I think those questions need to be answered for me to move him up further. But I think he's still obviously a very good target in dynasty leagues. One of the bigger breakouts at this position this year, though, Chris, one that I have top 10 right now, you don't, but he's right outside your top 10, if I recall. Yeah, a couple spots outside. We'll get to our rest of our top 25 here in a second. But I want to talk about Thomas Ajayi here, if you're a former Texas Ranger, now in the St. Louis Cardinals organization, went over in the Jordan Montgomery deal along with Tekoa Roby. Very good year in the minor leagues this year. Actually coming off pretty much back-to-back good years in 2022 between, well, it was mostly high A, a little bit, handful of games in double A as well, 312, 361, 506 slash line. And then this past year between double A and triple A, 306, 374, 530, 34 doubles, 26 home runs, 12 steals. You've scored over 100 runs, you know, it doesn't really matter, but you know, like, one of the more well-rounded like offensive seasons in the minor leagues this past year. Guy that has played all around the infield, mostly second and third, a little bit of shortstop as well, but probably guy that projects better at second base. Where are you valuing him after this breakout? Because, you know, like we kind of were talking about before we started recording, the profile doesn't scream stud. The production has been there, and it's been there for a bit now. So maybe he's one of those guys, Chris, that's
more of some of the parts, as opposed to having those one or two really key tools that he can build off of.
Yeah, he's an interesting profile. He caught my eye a little bit in 2022 when I saw him when he was with High Hickory, but he never really looked like a standout to me. Like, he's like a 5'11", like kind of lanky build. He hits the ball in the air a lot, which kind of played to his advantage, like in the Texas League this summer. That's why he tapped into 26 home runs. But he's very aggressive. Like, he chases above average rates. His overall contact rate was 76%. Like, it's fine. It like improved throughout the year too. So like, his contact rates were pretty low early on in the season and got better. The power was like average. Like, the EVs were like, okay, like, they don't really suggest that we're looking at a 26 home run bat, but because he hit the ball in the air so much in the hitter friendly environments, like, it really played up. To me, it just looks like he's like fives across the board. He's like a 50 hit, 50 power, maybe below average runner. So like, he doesn't like overly excite me. Like, he's been efficient on the base pass. Like, he stole 14 tries this year. He stole 12 and 15 in 2022. So like, when he's ran, he's been efficient, but I don't know. It's just like a kind of boring profile. I think some of the parts is a good word, but he doesn't really have a position either. So he's not really great in the field. So that kind of hurts him a bit. And we've seen these position prospects in St. Louis get completely blocked. So I don't know how they value him. And obviously they acquired him for Jordan Montgomery. They got Tekoa Roby as well, but they obviously, what they saw in him, I don't know. He's like, meh. Like, his heart, you can't ignore the performance, but like, everything else is okay. He's just a guy, but he could be one that just continually overperforms and like plays better than you would hope and expect.
Yeah, I think this worries that now, because he wasn't really a name on anyone's list, or at least not high on anyone's list, including my own, even as early as the middle of last season. Then he, like you mentioned, he started jumping up a little bit end of last year. Then this year made the big jump, and now he's, I've seen him top 50 in some rankings. I'm not that high in him, but I have him at currently right around 80 overall. Where do you have him in your rankings, Chris? Is he top 100 for you?
No, I have him not far out, 110. So
okay,
it's fine.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's a guy that should be in that 100 range, give or take 20 spots either way. Okay, I think that's a very fair range for him for sure. All right, let's go over to our 11 through 25 of our rankings, but to quickly recap, 1 through 10 for each of us. For Chris, Adiel Amador, Matt Shaw, Tremar Johnson, Joey Ortiz, Luis Angel Acuna, Joey Loprofito, James Triantos, Michael Bush, Juan Brito, Justin Foscue. For me, Adiel Amador, Matt Shaw, Luis Angel Acuna, Joey Loprofito, Tremar Johnson, Michael Bush, Connor Norby, Carlos Jorge, Thomas DeJesus, and James Triantos. 11 through 25, for me, that is Ryan Bliss, Mac Horvath, Joey Ortiz, Juan Brito, Aslivas Basabe, Justin Foscue, Jace Young, who might be moving over to third base, but for now, we'll keep him here. Nick York, Chris, again, did we figure out what the name pronunciation was for Vargas?
Echedri, I don't know.
So, E-C-H-E-D-R-I, Echedri, Echedri. If anyone knows, please let me know. I definitely want to.
I couldn't find a pronunciation anywhere. I tried to look, yeah. Couldn't find anything.
For now, I'm going with Echedri. That seems for me. I don't know. We'll see. He's at 19. Nick Gonzalez 20. Bryce Matthews, Brandon Bonassi, which I'm still mad it's not Bonacci. That's kind of a fun name to sound. Xavier Edwards, Kenner Delgado, and Jared Cern. There's a couple of Yanks here rounding up my 25. Chris, who's your 11 through 25?
All right, so it starts with Echedri, Vargas, Thomas DeJesus, Connor Norby, Mac Horvath, Nick York, that's through 15, and 16 through 20, Jace Young, Ryan Bliss, Carlos Jorge, Hansel Luis, and Yorbit Vivas. And then 21 through 25 is Jared Serna, Oslavis Basabe, Nick Gonzalez, Christopher Torin, and Will Wagner to round it out.
All right, let's start with Ryan Bliss here from this set. So a guy I had 11 overall, you have 17. Obviously, another guy that had a massive offensive season in the minor leagues this past year. Pretty split between AA and AAA. 68 games, AA, 60 in AAA. / .304, .378, .524. 23 home runs, also 34 doubles as well, and 55 steals. Solid walk rate just below 10%, a K rate right around 20%, but did fall off a bit after he got the AAA. In AA, he was 358, 414, 594, and AAA 239, 338, 441. So still hitting for power and still stealing bags, but obviously the average went way down from AA to AAA, which is weird. Usually it goes up in AAA when you go to, especially when you're in the PCL. And then we also saw him out in the Arizona Fall League, where he stole 10 bags, but everyone was stealing bags out there. So I don't put too much stock into that, but didn't really do much at the plate. Was walking a good amount, but hit 239 with only three extra base hits, so a 296 slug. Man, Chris, the rankings on Ryan Bliss are all over the place right now. Like, where are you at on Bliss? Because obviously he's not a 2050 guy. There is some fantasy-friendly tools in the profile here, but also undersized guy. So he's a really weird one to try to value and rank right now.
Yeah, he's really tough, actually. And he's like, when we say small, like he's like severely undersized. And it's not the profile we typically see excel. He's 5'6", 165. Like, he was certainly looked at when we saw him in the AFL.
Yep.
And those body types are just few and far between of guys that can make it to the bigs and be successful, which is my concern here with Bliss. He had a great season. He did struggle after he was traded over to Seattle a bit, but overall, like, the performance was fine across the board. Really good. There were some bumps when he hit AAA, but still, you can't argue against what he did. And there's some sneaky pop maybe for the size. Hit tool's fine. Like, the speed's fine. I think the stolen base total is obviously really high, and I'm not really expecting him to be that kind of stolen base guy. Like, I don't, like you said, don't see him as a 50 stolen base guy. Maybe he's closer to like 2025 guy when the dust settles. But ultimately for me, Bliss just doesn't strike me as someone that I'm going all in on. I think that he might be considered a sell. I think you could cash out on him and get something pretty decent, which I might do, but there's also the chance that he could crack in the Mariners lineup sooner than later. Yep. They haven't been really aggressive. They've currently got Josh Rojas slated at second base. They've got Dylan Moore and Sam Haggerty on the bench. Why could it not be Ryan Bliss? Like, he's better than these guys, in my opinion. So wouldn't be surprised if he gets a shot soon and you can see what he could do.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That I do think he slots into the picture in Seattle soon, because that lineup isn't great. I mean, obviously, they got Julio Rodriguez, and that's a stud right there. But outside of him, obviously, J.P. Crawford, solid at short. Second base, looks like it's going to be some combination of Josh Rojas and others. They get to get Luis Urias, from us via trade back in November. So looks like he's going to play some third for them. So there's a lot of open spots in that infield. And outside of Ty France and Crawford, the second base and third base are pretty wide open right now. And then maybe Bliss plays some outfield too. The outfield outside of J-Rod, they got Cade Marlowe, Dominic Canzone, Tim Haggerty, Dylan Moore, Jose Caballero, these types. So a lot of possibilities for Bliss to break in here, get some solid run this season. And yeah, I don't think, obviously, he's nearly as good as the stats indicate this past year. But like I said, especially if he's come with second base eligibility, with a decent little power speed blend, for, at least for that position, a guy that can at least provide a decent enough average in OBP, I think he could still surprise some people. But I do agree, though, at the same time, where while he has moved up my rankings a ton, he's another guy in that 100 range for me overall. I do think the general consensus, like the perceived value on him, has risen to a point where he is a solid sell right now. So I definitely would agree with you there with Ryan Bliss. Next kind of name here a name that has been a decent name for a bit now in the prospect world just because of where he was drafted. That's Nick York here from my Boston Red Sox. But Nick York is a guy that both Chris and I have seen a decent amount now. Obviously, Chris in high A when he was with Greenville last year and me this year with AA Portland. And, you know, I won't speak for Chris, but the numbers were decent. The numbers weren't bad. 268, 350, 435, 25 doubles, 13 home runs, 18 steals. He's a guy that has he never usually has any bad at bats, but was very underwhelming. He's very kind of middle of the road prospect for me and a guy that I just don't think projects into a major league regular, at least not with the Red Sox. I think they're probably going to move Story over the second once Mayer's ready, and that's the middle infield. Maybe as soon as later this year, probably more so 2025. Maybe York's traded, I'm not sure, but not really one that I'm looking to buy into. And I don't even know where his perceived value is right now, so I'm not even sure if I'd necessarily call him a sell either, but just not a guy I'm really excited about going out there and getting in Dynasty Leagues right now.
Yeah, that's fair. He's just meh.
Yep.
He never really wowed me at all. And he had his moments. Like when he came up to Greenville at the end of 2021, it was like, okay, like maybe this guy actually is legit. But then he dealt with so much the next year, like all kind of injuries, sicknesses. Dude just missed time for all kinds of random stuff, which I think ultimately hurt him a bit. But he's a tinkerer. Like he's constantly tinkering with his like stance, and he's changing this and he's changing that. And I think that just hurts him. And ultimately, like, he's just like average across the board. He's never really followed up on that 2021 season, which he looked really solid. So he's not flashy. I'm not sure he's an everyday second baseman. He may be a utility role. He just needs to find something that he's confident in, I think, and stick with it rather than just like constantly changing and tweaking. So find the confidence and roll with it is what is my suggestion for Nick York. But that's obviously not everybody's thing, but I don't know. He's not someone I'm looking to invest in for fantasy at this point.
Yep, definitely the same there. Speaking of Knicks, though, Nick Gonzalez obviously was a former pretty highly ranked prospect for a good chunk of time now, but I think his star has fallen a ton, lost a lot of its gleam, so to speak. And you know, the metrics with the Pirates this year, he got it for 120 plate appearances. Wasn't good. 209, 268, 348. Only a 4.7% walk rate, K rate about 28%. Quality of contact was not good. He only had three barrels for 3.7% barrel rate, 26.8% hard hit rate. EV was 85.5 miles an hour. Like a lot of blue on the profile here. Super high ground ball rate, 32.5% whiff rate, zone contact, well below league average as well. But it's Pittsburgh, so he'll probably get some run this year because they really don't have a lot of other options. Is there any hope, Chris, at all for Nick Gonzalez now? Or is this a guy where you're fully out? Because I'm not fully out yet, but I'm pretty damn close.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty out here too. He was one of the best pure hitters coming in that draft, like great zone contact. And he showed decent power in college too. And then it all just flipped on him and went the opposite way. The biggest thing, he just doesn't make contact in the zone. He was 76% this year, which is not great. It was better than 2022, but that's still way below average for zone contact. The overall contact rate was below 70%. Like, that's not good at all. The EVs are below average. Like, he might be like a 12 to 15 home run bat. If he tops out at 20, it's a realistic outcome, but if you're whiffing that much in the zone against AA and AAA pitchers, I just have severe worries of what you're actually going to do against solid big league pitching. So for those reasons, yeah, I'm fairly out on Nick Gonzalez.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't see a path here to more than just like super low end value. So maybe in deeper leagues, he'll still have some value there. But that's pretty much it, I think, for Nick Gonzalez at this point. All right, let's round out the show, though, with a breakout pick each, a guy we're planting our flag on, so to speak. Chris, who is that guy for you?
This range is tough. Most of the guys I like are pushed up in the top 10 at this point. So, like, Juan Brito is certainly somebody that I'm weighing on. I have him in the top 10 already, but he's a top 100 guy at this point. So I'm going to drop down the list a little bit, and I'm going to say Hansel Luis with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's one that I just think that has shown a strong feel to hit. He's smaller, but he showed some emerging power. And ultimately, I think he's one that could pop off as he continues to mature and move up rankings. I put him in the fourth spot for the Diamondbacks top prospects list. He certainly stands out in several ways. We did see some regression as he moved up to single A, but if he can figure that out, I think he'll be fine. And we're talking about an 18-year-old with a decent body, showing good feel to steal, some decent pop as well, a lot of extra base hits. You know, I think that Luis could really break out in his first like full season. He's played at DSL and Complex and made it to single A, but 2024, he'll be a regular season, full season guy in the minors. So I think there's a chance he could really move up these rankings.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. He definitely won the more intriguing guys from the DSL this past year. I'm going to go over to a guy that you follow me on Twitter. You've seen me tweet about this guy several times, so it should be no surprise. I'm going Matt Horvath from Baltimore. Another guy that I no idea where he's going to end up. Maybe he gets traded. Please played second base, some third base as well. Had some outfield a little bit in college. Actually, not in college, more so in the Cape Cod League, excuse me. Did have one game in the outfield, or three games actually in the outfield last year. So a little bit of outfield too. So maybe he moves to the outfield. Maybe he gets traded. I don't know. Again, infield in Baltimore, very crowded already. Before you even get to Horvath on the depth chart. But I love the profile here. This is a very fantasy-friendly profile. You look at his last 2 years at North Carolina, and I'm a North Carolina guy, at least for college. College baseball, their team I probably watch more than any other team. Last 2 years, 123 games combined. At UNC the last 2 years, 42 home runs, 44 steals, and an OBP above 400. And then in 22 games in the minor leagues after the draft, 321, 455, 603 slash, 7 doubles, 5 home runs, 14 steals. That's just in 99 plate appearances. And yeah, he's a college guy in low A and high A, and it was a small sample size. So it's not really going off of that. Power speed blend is very robust here. You know, plus power speed guy. But the questions even entering the draft for him were, will he make enough contact? It wasn't so much the approach, not a ton of swing and miss in the game. You know, draws a fair amount of walks. You know, he had a walk rate well above 10% in college, 104 walks in 728 plate appearances. But will he be a 240 guy? Can he be like 270? Yeah, I think where the average ends up, where the contact skills end up long-term is the real question here. But even if he's just like a 250 to 260 hitter, I think that's still enough when you factor in the power speed where like this could be 20 plus. And if that does come with second base eligibility, whether it's with Baltimore or another team down the road, like this would be a very fun profile at that position, especially. So, yeah, I really like Matt Horvath to break out a lot. And if you haven't had your FYPD draft yet, I think he's a phenomenal target there that you can. I have him near a top 10. I think he's like 15th, 14th in my FYPD ranking. That you can probably get possible. That's a great target there as well. So, Horvath for me, so Luis for Chris. And that's going to round out our second base prospect rankings here. Again, pretty unpositional, kind of polarizing one way or another. So, this is a fun episode for sure. And we have our second base dynasty episode coming up later this week on Friday. So, check back in for that. Until then, everyone take care.